What's up, guys? It's David, and if you're listening to the show, that means that you have some interest in the podcast industry and maybe even a show yourself. And I want to tell you about Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you get when you include an ad from Podgo. Apply today to become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. Let's start the show. Hello, welcome to the podcast industry. I'm the host, David. Today we have a very exciting episode. Today we have a guest on the show. We have Parker Hall from Wired. Parker is a product reviewer at Wired, focusing on consumer technology, and is extremely knowledgeable about audio products, especially gear that you should buy for podcasts. So, without further ado, here's my interview with Parker Hall. Thanks so much for being here today. You know, as someone that's studied music, you know, the expert in reviewing stuff, your expert stuff reviewer, what do you feel is your advice for either musicians or podcasters starting out on how to record audio?
Yeah, so I guess they're a little bit, they're really, really similar, but they're a little bit separate in that if you're a podcaster, I would honestly just recommend you get a quality USB mic. I see you're using a Blue Yeti. Using a Blue Yeti right now on my desk. but there's a lot of really great mics like the Blue Yeti or even cheaper from like $150 down to even like $50 that, in my opinion, give you totally good enough audio quality. As long as you're not in a really horrible sounding space for any kind of vocal based podcast. And you know, you can pair that with a free piece of software called Audacity, which is really, really easy to use to edit your audio, and you're pretty much good to go. For music, it gets a little bit more complicated, I would say. I think in those instances, I would recommend getting a small audio interface so that you can plug in like an electric guitar or keyboard and also just sort of a standard microphone. But the good news is like even that's really cheap. You can spend $100-$150 on something and it'll be pretty awesome quality. Something, you know, the Beatles would have been jealous of.
Yeah. You know, I'm pretty shocked when I talk to the Podgo members. A lot of people use GarageBand to edit their podcast. You know, it comes with the Mac and it's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, I think that's the beauty of the software is that it doesn't really affect the sound. It's really about usability. And I think that GarageBand, even Logic, I use Studio One. That's my favorite one. But there's a lot of, they're called DAWs, digital audio workstations. That work really awesome. It's not like in visual editing where basically you've got Photoshop or you've got nothing else. You know, there's a lot of great audio software.
Yeah, and you know, because podcasts are so intimate, you know, you're listening on your headphones. If you change a little bit of that quality, it means a lot. But that kind of leads into my next question: is you love reviewing headphones? You have so many headphones reviews. I can tell that that's like one of your things. So for podcast listening, not so much recording, but for listening, what's your number one headphone recommendation? And I probably have you know, depend on what you're doing, but I'll kind of leave it open-ended.
Yeah. I mean, if you're working out and listening to podcasts, which is something I know a lot of people do, I would recommend getting some, you know, wireless earbuds. Something like I really like AirPods Pro. Not such a huge fan of the standard AirPods, but if you're an iOS user, those are really great. I'm trying to think who else makes really great headphones. I really like One More. They're a small company that not a lot of people may like know off the top of their head, but they make really great wireless earbuds. So those would be, I would recommend those. They've worked in the past with THX and some other really awesome audio companies. And so just the sound quality for like $100 is pretty amazing. If you're really, really like getting into being an audio nerd, I would recommend getting some studio style headphones, to be honest. I'm wearing right now some Beyerdynamic studio headphones. I really like Audio Technica stuff. There's some really good Sony models. Again, all of these are below $150 or less. You can get a great pair of headphones. that will sound good playing music. They'll sound good with vocals. You can even use them to record your own podcast if you want to start getting into that. You know, it's the gear starts to sort of cross over between creating and experiencing at some point, you know.
Yeah, and you know, even with microphones, sometimes I interview people that are just using their AirPod mics, and that's like such a high quality now. Obviously not the same as a USB, but it's unbelievable how much this technology has like come a long way.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I mean, when I, even a couple years ago when I started on this sort of home recording journey, you needed a really good quality audio interface. You needed nice quality mic preamps and all that stuff. And now it's just gotten so cheap that you can get insanely great quality without spending a ton of money. It's really awesome. Or having to be like some kind of technical wizard, you know?
Yeah, I once saw a video of like 7 ways to record a piano, and they put the mic like under the piano, next to the piano, you know, next to the keys and all these different places. And it sounded really different. And you forget, like, you know, audio, you know, is it travels different depending on how far or where it's placed. So I feel like that's always my, people ask me the criteria to become a member on Podgo. And I always say the first thing, because we listen to all of our members' podcasts, or the applicant podcasts, you know, and the barrier is so low that if it sounds like you're recording underwater, it's like we're going to pass on you, because you know, we can't put that up with advertisers. So it's audio really means a lot. Have you ever thought about, with your audio expertise, getting into the podcast space?
I mean, I spend too much time recording music, to
true,
be honest,
but
I mean, I really enjoy the space. I mean, I think that, any sort of new form of artistic expression or sort of community exploration is really awesome. And I think that podcasts are a really awesome way to do that. One thing, I mean, you were just mentioning like the way, you know, if someone sounds like they're underwater, you can't have them.
Yeah.
I think that is actually, in my opinion, the most important thing to think about when you're recording audio is where you are, because at the end of the day, like if you bring a $5,000 mic into a really horrible sounding room, you're going to get a really horrible sounding result. It doesn't matter how nice your microphone is. It's sort of the same thing. I would say like people can think about it like cameras, like on your camera phone. If you're pointing your camera phone straight at the sun, you're never going to get a good photo, right? So
yeah.
I would just say like look for slightly more dead spaces in your house, like spaces where there's not a ton of reverb. You know, you can record in closets. You can just like surround yourself with some thick blankets. But yeah, I mean, that's something I would think about more than actually like the gear you're buying. Like just, it's really about the thing itself, not necessarily about like what you use to make it.
Yeah, you know, in your article, want to start a podcast or live stream, here's what you need. And if you don't, for those listening, if you haven't read it, we'll post a link to that. You wrote, good content is always going to be more important than the gear. I couldn't agree with more with that, because it's true. Like, you know, even if you do have the best audio, the best everything, you have to be making something compelling that people want to listen to. Same with music, right? It doesn't matter how great your recording setup is. That still has to be good. It still has to be good content. That kind of leads to my next question. What are you listening to now? Like, what's your podcast routine? What would be your show recommendations?
Oh, podcasts. I mean, I have been just listening to the Get Wired podcast a lot. I'm really excited about my coworker. I know this is a shameless plug, but it's true. Lauren Good, who I work with, on the gear team at Wired, is just like an absolutely magnificent podcast host. And she investigates like really interesting issues in tech every week. I don't really time it because I just listen to the whole thing so enthralled, but I want to say it's like a half hour to an hour long. Just really interesting podcasts. For a long time, I was a big Brewing Network listener because I'm a home brewer. And that's actually a really cool network where they have shows that describe like how to brew different beers. And they have like hundreds and hundreds of hours of shows. So that for a while, that was my like running, my workout listening was like I'd be running while listening to stories about beer to inspire me to finish my run.
To get home and then brew the beer.
Yeah, yeah. But I really, honestly, I listen to so much music. That's kind of my, like, I listen to podcasts when I'm traveling or working out, but most of the time I'm just listening to records.
Yeah. So when you record music, do you ever stop listening to music? I know some artists don't like to listen to any music because they feel like it's going to influence their creative process. Or do you feel like it helps you kind of build your own sound?
I mean, it depends, I guess. I don't really listen to music when I'm making it, like, simultaneously. I know, actually, a lot of artists will use, like, reference tracks or, you know, they'll have something that they're taking inspiration from that they'll listen to. But, yeah, I've never had that problem. I'm pretty much, like, if I'm not constantly surrounded by music, like, there's a problem, you know. When there's silence in my house, it's something's not right. I need to flip the record, you know.
Yeah. So you say you listen to records. Do you usually use a vinyl or do you have a
turntable?
Or how are you listening to music now?
Yeah, yeah. I have a couple turntables. I review turntables for Wired, so I have like a steady flow of them coming in and out of the house. And yeah, I just think it's a really fun way to listen to music. I don't like buy all of my favorite music on vinyl. I would go absolutely broke. I'm a huge Spotify. I love Spotify too. I hate to say that as like an artist who's sort of getting taken advantage of by Spotify.
Hey, it's the best. You know what? It's the best way to listen to music, though.
But it is, yeah. It really is an awesome way to like have all this music at your fingertips. But yeah, on vinyl, I just basically like, I hate to say it, but my method is sort of like at the end of the day, I'll like pour myself a beer and it's those records. It's like the ones I want to hear when I'm relaxing that I tend to buy on vinyl. So it's a lot of like funk, a lot of soul, a lot of old jazz, some like new, more mellow indie rock kind of stuff.
But, yeah. I have to say when I got my mom's record collection and she still had the vinyls and she had, you know, all the great records of the 60s and 70s. And I went to play it for the first time. And it's something that you feel like should be easier to play a record on a turntable. But then I'm like, where do I put the needle? And I was like, this is a lot harder than just pressing play on the phone. And it took me a while to get. I feel like that's like a lost art of how it's almost like a cool skill to have of how to play a record.
Yeah, there's a famous, I think it's a New Yorker cartoon where the guy's standing in front of his really fancy like record setup and he's looking at his friend and he goes, the two things I love most about vinyl are the cost and the inconvenience. and I think it's totally true, right? Like it's definitely not, it's not for the faint-hearted, you know. I would say there's like a couple $100 investment sort of right off the bat to even be able to really like play vinyl without sort of damaging it. Because a lot of cheaper turntables really like, you don't really want to be listening to stuff a lot on them because they're just not very nice to your discs, not like the audio quality. But yeah, I mean, it is definitely, it's just so much fun. I think like it's a more physical experience. I think they've done surveys that say like, you know, 50% of people sort of our age who own records don't even own a turntable. So I think that's, you know, people have started buying vinyl almost like even if they're not listening to it, just to have, you know, the physical thing that their favorite artist made, you know.
Yeah, so you review vinyls and turntables for Wired. What's your process of reviewing products? Like, do you have a cheat sheet that you do for each product of like they have to hit certain qualifications? Like, walk us through how you review each product.
I hate to say it, but it's actually a pretty boring answer, which is that I sort of just live with the products. Like, there's always more to try, but I sort of like just set up products. You know, if I'm testing a pair of headphones, I'll use that pair of headphones exclusively or nearly exclusively for a few weeks. You know, I try to test things the way that I assume normal people will use them. So, you know, it's funny, but like I'll test e-bikes and like durability test them by just sort of like letting them fall over or like seeing, you know, because like that's the thing is like you don't want to recommend a product to someone that like works really well in your review vacuum, but in their actual day-to-day life isn't great. So that's actually, yeah, I would say like that's the sort of standard answer for most of us on the review team here at Wired is basically like always be reviewing.
Yeah.
Even if we're only writing for a certain amount of hours a day or technically working for a certain amount of hours a day, like when I go to watch Netflix tonight, I'll be testing a new sound bar and a TV that I'm reviewing, and it sort of all combines so that it's just kind of the way I'm always listening to music and always watching stuff, and the stuff I'm using to do that is what changes. And so that's kind of how I'm able to compare and pretend I'm living with stuff like a real person.
Yeah, what has been like the biggest impact of like the technology integration, whether it's like smart TVs now having Netflix and all the apps on it, so you don't have to get, like an HDMI or a connection. What have you seen in the technology space that has been like the biggest lifesaver or a time saver for you?
I mean, to be honest, like even since I started reviewing things, which I'm not like some kind of ancient dinosaur. I've only really been doing this professionally for about 5 years, full time. But I will say, like even since I started, the immediate setup of products, like the ability to basically turn a product on, have it instantly either work with your phone or just sort of instantly work, and access everything you want to access, that is a trend that I just absolutely adore. It's made it so easy to set up, for example, like multi-room audio systems or sound bars or TVs. Like half the time I set up a sound bar, I don't even have to look at a manual anymore. And it's not because I'm some kind of expert that like knows how all this works. It's just literally like you plug in the power cable, you plug in the HDMI cable, and you're done. And it just works, and that's so like EARC, those sort of like these new protocols that allow every remote to work with every TV and sound bars to talk to TVs and speakers to be more easily wireless and everything to just talk a little bit in a more common language. That's the stuff that I really, really love because I'm, on my end, I was the guy who was having to sit there and troubleshoot it for hours and hours and hours. And now it's just like, oh, I just get to start using this, and I think it's just better for everyone in tech,
I'm afraid to ask how many like product apps you have on your phone that have different
Oh
products
man, let me
connect to
see. I mean, I
your
can I let's see. I mean, I have here's like pages. I mean, yeah, you
Yeah,
can't really see because my phone's too bright, but
for the
yeah,
listeners
pages
just
and
showing the phone,
pages.
it's
Yeah, everyone has different apps. But I mean, that's the thing is, it's terrible. It's annoying for me. But if you actually bought one of these products, you don't have
Yeah,
to have a million
exactly.
apps. You just have the one. So yeah, it's a funny thing. Like as a reviewer, sometimes you have to be like, wait, this is not the experience most people will have. Most people will not be like incredibly annoyed by this.
It's funny because I feel like most people now get more annoyed when something doesn't work because everything's so easy. So it's like, okay, well, if everything's so easy, why isn't my sound bar connecting right now? And then you have to go through that process of restarting something. We in my apartment, we had one of the Sonos boxes wasn't working, and like three other were. And you're like, why is this working and that's not? And I'm calling
Yep.
like my older brother, being like, how do I turn this on?
Yeah, I mean that's part of the durability testing. Like we definitely when we get comments or when people shoot us messages like, "Hey, I bought this thing that you recommended and it's been a year and it's like something's not right." Like that's not good, Like we try to make sure that stuff won't break randomly like that. Although with Sonos like it's a little bit and stuff like that. It's a little bit complicated because that could be like on their end, that could be some random just
They have
like
like they they've
software
had so
issue,
many
not a
yeah so
hardware
many
issue.
app they have so many updates to their
Yeah,
app.
yeah. There's like a million things, unfortunately, that can go wrong with systems like that, which is, another reason why I always tell people when they're looking at smart speakers and stuff, like they're not gonna last forever. Like this is not gonna last forever. It's not the same thing as buying like a big stereo speaker, like a set of speakers like you would in the 70s, like with a receiver and everything. If you're buying something wireless, the technology is going to evolve. How many people are still using their cell phone from the year 2000,
Yeah. For your friends and family, are you like the go-to person when they need tech support?
I am luckily not because
There
my
we
older
go.
brother is a software engineer for Amazon. So
Okay.
he's the more actually the more technical. I mostly just experience things, to be honest. Like, we don't do
a
lot of...
they ask you for Christmas gifts of what I should buy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. They're always asking me, like, what the coolest new stuff is. That's for sure.
You know, wrapping up, you know, we kind of spoke about microphones, but do you think that Blue Yeti is your number one mic right now for the USB plugins?
I wouldn't say number one. I mean, I like JLab makes some mics that are really great. This just happens to be the one that's been on my desk lately. as I said, I live with stuff. But yeah. I do really like this one. It's really solidly constructed. That's kind of what I'd look for in a mic, if I'm being honest, is like, if you can, like, pick up the box or pick it up and feel it or see someone else's, you know, that's something that's really made of robust quality materials. That's a good sign. That means they're sort of not cutting corners elsewhere, typically. And then also another thing I recommend is see what your favorite podcasters are using. A lot of them actually aren't, you know, you'd be surprised. A lot of them are not using crazy fancy gear. You know, if you can sort of steal their setup, if it's not crazy expensive, that's always a good way to go.
Yeah, but for everyone doing their holiday shopping, be sure to check out Parker's column on Wired to make sure that you see all the products he reviews to make sure that you get the best gift possible. But where else can everyone find you?
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter, at PW Hall. I'm on Instagram. Let's see. I have a band called Rules. That's my music. We're on YouTube. Yeah, I mean, that's me. Mostly at Wired, to be honest. Where I spend most of my time typing.
Well, Parker, once again, thank you so much for taking the time. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, I appreciate it, yeah.
Once again, thank you so much to Parker Hall for coming on the show. This week was a little bit slow in podcast news. That's why we decided to run this episode with a guest. And... you know, I just want to say happy Thanksgiving, happy holidays for everyone, and I hope that you get inspired to buy some podcast-related gifts for all the podcasters in your life based on Parker's recommendations. If you don't already, follow us on social media. Please subscribe and rate this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, and I hope to see you next episode.